Hey guys, this is Luke, and welcome to the podcast. Today we are discussing how to keep our church building from rotting from the inside out, and just and having it to be a blessing to the community. So let's dive in and learn how we can use our building to bless others. So we hope you enjoy the conversation.
Hi, and welcome to the Flipside Podcast, where we explore the underbelly of Crestview Bible Church. I'm your host and producer, joined, as always, by Phil Auchter, the pastor at Crestview, and we have our special correspondent, Luke. And we are sitting here in the Crestview building. It is a cool, some might say freezing cold winter day.
The temperature says freezing, so it's not subjective. It is very objective.
It is the season of winter. Let me just remind you people. Got some real problems with you summer people. No, I'm just kidding.
We are enjoying our nice warm building, sitting together around coffee, around the table to discuss the building, actually.
Right, that's right. So in recent days, there's been a, I guess, an intentional mind shift among leadership to think about how we can use our building in better ways to serve our community and love them well. And so we thought it would be a great opportunity to share that with you and help you be on board with the vision we have, because you might see these events coming and thinking like, what, another thing from the community? Golly, it seems like we're just going all out for the community. And yeah, that's kind of right. That's kind of what we're called to. it's kind of crazy that our master would say go to all people, and yet he has. So we take that seriously and we love it. And so we just want to talk through like what shifted. And I think Luke, we were kind of going over the tape of like how this all defaulted, and Luke distinctly remembers someone approaching leadership a few years ago with an idea to use the building for a get together. And so, I mean, in your mind, just what is the trajectory, or how did we get to this point where we are today, where we're
open-handed with our building? This individual wanted to just get some for non-believing friends together and create a space for that. And this was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and the leadership just said, well, we don't really want to use, I don't think our building needs to be used for that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
So you could tell that we were very much inward focused. Yeah, so right. What is good for us? What is good for our body?
I think in my case, I was hiding behind policy of, you know, like traditionally we've never used the building in this way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, why are we doing this? It's going to be more work for people and, you know, all that.
So if you remember back in 2020, 2021, we went through a series called Loving Your Neighbor as Yourself, and a sermon series on that. And then we also went through the book of Acts. And I think just it caused us to press into is what is our mission? What is our purpose? What is our point here on earth? What did the Jesus want for us as a church? That's right. To glorify him by loving others, right? Loving our community.
Well, I think too that Loving Your Neighbor series, I think we're in Luke 15, and you see just how Jesus is relentless on God's heart to go after others, to go after the lost sheep, to scour the house clean to find the lost coin, to go out to the lost son, to go out to the other lost son that's like hiding behind religion and his being better than the other one, to going after all those kinds of people to show them love. And then, you know, just the impulse of the church in Acts. And I know there's, you know, lots of debate. We have had to wrestle with that at times. Like, what's the application here? To what degree is Acts normative? But I don't think we can deny that the church in the book of Acts is very much outward focused and not inward focused.
Yeah.
It's not like putting up I guess in some cases they were putting up armed guards around their gatherings because their lives were at stake or they were having to scatter due to persecution. But, you know, they were very much propelling outward, finding ways to go, go all the time. And so I think that was one trajectory that really affected me, and I'm sure it affected the other guys.
Yeah, and the elders also went through a book several months called Loving Your Community.
Right, it's a pastor in Lafayette, Indiana, and their church is really known for kind of doing counseling work in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So they have maybe what's one of the largest biblical counseling conferences in the world, where it's a 2-week counseling conference. But the book just talked about all the ways that their leadership had transitioned through the years, trying to think through ways to love the community better. And so for us, I think it was a lot of those soft skills of, what does this look like? You know, like, we don't feel like the impulse is wrong to love our community, but just what does it look like on the ground? Like, what does it look like? How do other churches practice this? And then realizing that, you know, other churches maybe have bigger buildings or bigger bandwidth or whatever. What can we do with our, you know, modest congregation and our part-time staff that's trying to maintain custodial arts throughout the building? You know, how do we juggle all that for what we're wanting to do? But we, yeah, I think we were driven right by that trajectory, rather than the default being, no, we can't do that. So I think he asked in the book, how did you word it?
Yeah, it was just, what's your impulse? Is it to say yes, or sorry, is it to say no, or to say, well, why not?
Yeah.
So when someone comes to us, say, hey, I need this, we have a meeting, or we need a space, for our group. Could you host us? So instead of our knee-jerk reaction, our default being, no, we don't serve that purpose. What if our knee reaction was, well, what is it going to take to do that? Right. Yeah. So why not? Like, yes. What do you need? Able to, like, how could we serve you well? If we can't, then it's a no. If it's, yeah, like, we can definitely open it up and serve you well, then our knee reaction should be yes.
Right. So we had already kind of gone down that road a little bit with moms, with the moms group, which... I think what made the moms group an easier sell was we had a lot of people that were plugged in from our body into that group already. So people like Shanna was giving direction to that 1 year, and Elizabeth Wood back in the day. So they had both given direction to that organization, and then they needed a place to meet. And so that made sense. But in recent days, I think we've, especially this last year, we really kind of cracked the door open a little wider than it's ever been. We hosted an event for the Hutch Chamber of Commerce called LeaderCast, co-hosted by Hutchinson Regional Medical Center. That was a huge event. I think it was 300 people attended this thing, kind of a simulcast. I know somebody in the church asked me, like, they got this guy, and they got this guy speaking, and I don't know what's going on with that. I heard it advertised on the radio, and it's going to be at our church. What is this about? And I just quickly said, hey, yeah, there's all kinds of people. That's a thing that we're letting our building be used for this. And so it is a mind shift, like, from traditional thinking, like, where, yeah, there are some, we're just creating a space where people can come and gather here. So, really just focusing on uniquely accommodating outsiders. Like, what is keeping us from just showing love to our community and letting outsiders have opportunities in this building? So, I mean, I think, yeah, LeaderCast was a big one.
We also had the health department come in, do Head Start for young families, kind of a screening, health screening for young families. So one of our church members said, hey, this organization needs a space. Can we use our building? And our knee reaction was, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We did the, was it the United Way? It was a training for our church, but it wasn't necessarily biblical training, but we did a poverty simulation and something that, you know, maybe years ago wouldn't have been able to be possible to do here. We might've had to host it at a neutral location. So
yeah. That and that brought in a lot of community people too, that, yeah. So then in the fall, we started hosting Horizons All-Staff Training, which most of our listeners probably know that Hutch Regional is the largest employer in Reno County, the number of employees they have. But Horizons is a huge part of that. And their all-staff training takes about every seat we could find and every table. But they love meeting in our auditorium space. So I think we arranged that with Beth, and she's the trainer. She's trained our staff of both adults in mental health first aid and youth mental health first aid. We've had teams of people go through that with Horizons, and it just developed out of her relationship with that. She said, could we use your building? And then that seems like the right connection. And they've already booked all their employee gatherings for Horizons for the next year in our building. They're already on the calendar, already scheduled, because they love being here. And so I remember walking in the first time they were doing it, they were giving flu shots to all their employees, and I walk in and they're stabbing everybody with a needle, and I'm like, what's going on? You know, so, but they're just trying to serve people in the health community well, and it's just part of the rhythms, and they love our space. They love being here. And so it's, I mean, it's an amazing thing that we get to host events like this. And there's,
so what's the feedback that we've been getting? Yeah. I know, Andrew, you mentioned some feedback that you're hearing in the community.
It must have been that 300 person hospital event that my wife's supervisor had attended. And so when Laura brought up that she goes to Crestview, immediately her supervisor knew what that was, where that was, and I've been there. And I think immediately it shows the respect. I think our name is better respected in the community because of the generosity that we've used our building for.
And my vision would be the walls go down, right? Yeah. So there's a lot of people that are unchurched who've never set foot in a building, and or even they've had maybe some past trauma of being in a church building, and so they come in here. Here's a safe space. Here's one that we're going to have open arms to the community, and it's like, okay, maybe I can come at 10 o'clock on a Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. I can see that they. It's not as scary as I might have thought it might be.
Yeah, you know, I think there's probably listeners we have that think, well, you know, shouldn't we be standing up for the truth and the world doesn't like that? Well, of course, like, we're not saying we're compromising the gospel. It's just, what are we leading with? And we're leading into our community with love so that they know that we love this community. We value it. We love them as people. We want to support them. Now, that doesn't mean we agree with every single decision that these organizations are making or anything like that, but they do know we love them. And so, yeah, to your point of, you know, there's people that maybe just have a certain stigma in their mind about church, a certain stigma about what church people are like. It's helping to lessen the sting of that, which we don't want the sting to be that. You know, there's enough sting that the gospel offers, right? That people are, you know, without Christ are in trouble, and Christ has set them free. You know, so Christ is ready to redeem them. So it's just what we're leading with, and we're leading with love in a way that meets a tangible need that they have. And we're doing that in a way that, you know, we're not requiring a certain price. We're not making demands. We're trying to,
we're not profiting off this thing.
Right. No, we're not. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll get a pay schedule.
Right. Right. So we're just trying to love them. And then they feel that they're like, what, you know, I think somebody that scheduled an event here said, you know, other organizations in the community to use their building this size are charging like thousands of dollars. And we're like, oh, really? Well, good for them. You know, like, so it's not like, I mean, we have to guard ourselves against self-righteousness too, because this isn't about just us being awesome. We serve a Savior who is so awesome that He's worthy of everyone. And so, yeah, He's graciously given us all things. So we want to be able to step into the front lines and show love to them as the impulse. And so, I mean, it's amazing. And I think we've had some conversations with people too who have preconceived notions in their mind about what church is, or they've been burned. You know, well-known leaders in our community have just been burned by the church, and it's awful. You know, it just turns my stomach. And we're able to be light to them. We're able to be salt, to get back to kind of the core essence of our calling. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And, you know, God's put us here so that we can radiate that to others. And so we're trying to be faithful to that.
Yeah. And so as you guys are hearing this, the listeners, who do you know that could use the building? Right. So we know that you're in spaces, you're in spheres of influence. And so when someone's looking for a place and they're just kind of at their wit's end, man, we want to be able to do this, but we don't know how to make it happen. I want you to say, hey, maybe my church can host this. Let me check into that. I want that also to be your impulse to voice that up. So
we just had that happen this week, right? We had someone who in our body is entrenched working on an issue. They're working with people. One of the big roadblocks of their work to keep things moving. We're trying to speak vague just to protect them and what they're trying to do. They don't want the attention. And the point isn't that. But they just had an impulse like, hey, would this be possible? Could we somehow, like, here's three different ways it could work at the church. You know, we could do it this way. We could do it this way. We could do it this way. Would any of these possibly work? you know, we just feel like the church would be a good, the church building would be a good space to use. And so, you know, we kind of got our heads together and tried to figure out a way forward. And, you know, I think it's going to work for them. And again, they're just kind of, I can't believe this would work. And, you know, so we're going to, it's another opportunity to love. And that's going to be a huge impact, I think, for what they're trying to do. And so we're, it is supporting them in the work they're doing and having an impact in the community as well. So I don't know if I'm, what else do I need to say about all the weirdness of trying to describe it?
I think also I want us to understand what does that mean for us?
Yeah.
What are the implications? What's it going to cost us to open up our building? So on one level, it doesn't cost anything. We're already paying the electricity bill. We're already paying the heating, air conditioning costs.
Right.
So on one level, it doesn't really cost us. We're already paying taxes on the building, right? So it doesn't cost us a penny. Maybe like a couple more dollars to turn lights on, but at the end of the day, it doesn't cost us anything. But there is a sacrifice,
yeah,
right? So it means dirtier building. It means more maybe
wear and tear. Yeah.
Wear and tear, right? So are we, as of some people might be like, hey, I want to serve in that area, right? So what's it going to take for us as a church to make all these things happen? What's the implication?
Right. And I think there's all kinds of, I mean, it just creates more opportunities. Some of you, this is your heart. Like I imagine we have listeners that are like, man, I just want to be there to be welcoming to these people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We would love to have a team that we lean on. Like, hey, we got an event this week. Who can be kind of the hosts for this event?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're here opening the building for them. You're here, you know, serving whatever they need. And it's just a, you know, so there's people that have that heart. Obviously, we're probably going to need, in some cases, some stuff set up. We're going to need maybe some childcare. We're going to need some meals made. We're using, we have budget monies around community engagement. So when you just give to the church, I mean, all these things, like, it's going to require, in some cases, sacrifice, giving, you know, sacrifice of time, convenience, you know, things like this. But I think the impact that we're seeing is this is really good for our community, and it's showing love to them. So
well, I'm thankful that you're able to show how people can step in.
Yeah,
right. So thanks for opening up where people can say, oh man, there is a way that I can step in. I don't have to just watch on the sidelines while everybody else does it.
Yeah.
Right. Here's ways that I can serve.
Right. And most of these organizations are stepping in. So if you're thinking like, oh, I don't know if I have the skills to do this, most of them know exactly what they need to do here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about like someone who's opening up the door for them and saying, you know, what do you need? And
mm-hmm.
you're helping them get what they need to make this building helpful to them. So they might need to know, you know, what's the Wi-Fi password or where are the bathrooms or, you know, can we get ice out of the ice machine or can we get water out of the sink or whatever? And you're like, yes, please. Just take all that we have, you know,
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
you know, somebody wants to go, like Jesus said, there's someone on the mount. Like if someone wants your cloak, just give them your cloak. You know, if someone wants to go a mile, you go with them too. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to so incarnate who Jesus is to these people. So show them his love that the residue that's left on them is not like some weird religiosity, but man, there's people in Hutchinson that really actually love people. And we've heard about somebody who does that. We just have never met anyone. So, yeah.
I think one sacrifice we have is that we are no longer coveting every night of the week for church activities. And I think that falls into what you stated as a purpose is we are uniquely trying to accommodate the community. And I forget what you had said earlier about being on the front lines. This is a way to be on the front lines of the mission.
Oh, the fringe of the mission, yeah.
These people are coming into our building. And, yeah, we may not be able to host a 60-plus Bible study. You may have to go to someone's home because the church is being used. But leadership thinks, and I would agree, that that's the purpose, the heart of Jesus of hospitality and generosity to those on the fringe.
That's always marked us out as his people, right? That we're the ones where people can go and find hospitality. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that are going to embody love. We're the ones that are going to be leading with that. So we're just trying to put our money where our mouth is and live this out. So
if you have any thoughts or events that you think Crestview would be a perfect place to host, that's what the intention of this episode is for. So feel free to talk to Phil or Luke. The answer may not be a yes, but the default will be why not? And we would like to do that if we can. So We appreciate you taking time to listen to us, to join the Flipside listenership. We hope that you've enjoyed the conversation, and we will catch you next time on the Flipside.